The following is a production of Art Trap Productions, brought to you by the Gallifreyan Embassy and has been made possible by supporting subscribers and donations from listeners like you. This episode brought to you by Podshock supporting subscribers. Go to arttrap.com/podshocksupporter to become a supporting subscriber. Support the show and get extra content and other bonuses. This episode also brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/arttrap. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This episode is also supported by the Podshock Podcast Companion app for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Live from Cranley Halt, it's Doctor Who Podshock. Doctor Who Podshock.
Okay, well, let's do it now. Whatever it is, if it's valuable, send it to us.
For the best in all things Doctor Who, it's Doctor Who Podshock, the podcast all about Doctor Who, the longest-running science fiction television program, with Louis Trapani.
Hello.
Ken Deep.
Hello.
James Norton.
Hello.
News.
Fabulous.
Reviews.
Oh, no.
And fan mail for James.
40,000.
Doctor Who Podshock, from the Gallifreyan Embassy.
You know, that guy James was really cool. Oh, yeah, we blew that.
I'm the Doctor, and who are you?
The Gallifreyan Embassy presents Doctor Who Podshock, episode 236. My name is Ken Deep, alongside Mr. Louis Trapani.
Hello, greetings and salutations.
And across the great pond, the daddy himself, Mr. James Norton.
Hello.
Oh, my. So, welcome back, James.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So how is everyone?
Not so bad, bit of a cold, but other than that, doing good. You guys?
Well, we were being snowed in, but other than that, it's status is normal, status quo here.
Situation normal.
Yeah.
How's everything with you?
Looking forward to the warmer temperatures of L.A. when we make the trip to Gallifrey.
Yes, it's right around the corner at this point. It's couple weeks away from the time we're recording, and even less time by the time the podcast gets out. And with any luck, we'll have our Gallifrey preview coming up in a little while. Some of the things to look out for some of the excitement at this year's Gallifrey.
It's very, very exciting. I'm very jealous that I can't be there for the first time in... Well, I made the previous other two, didn't I? But never mind, you guys will fly the Podshock flag.
Yeah, well, you're going to be busy doing other things. And
2011 is going to be a very busy year.
It's going to go down in history.
It certainly is.
But all good stuff. It's we'll have you on via, well, if the internet guards allow it, we'll have you on via Skype, and we'll bring you to Gallifrey one way or the other.
It'll work out, I'm sure. It all will work out. So, why don't we go straight into the newsroom?
Yeah, let's see what's cooking in the news.
Yeah. So, I have wonderful news jingle. There it is. So, in casting and filming news for the latest series, Series 6 of Doctor Who, we've got more information about some more actors who are on board with the show. This is information has been revealed by an agency, specifically Gordon and French, who have listed Danny Sapani, or Sapani, as appearing in episode 7 of the next series. He's going to be playing a character called Colonel Manton. And likewise, the same agency has also listed another actor for the third episode, a guy called Lee Ross, who's playing the character of Boatswain, which I'm quite excited about, because Lee Ross, anybody who is a big fan of Ashes to Ashes will know that, they may not know, but they would recognise him as DCI Lytton. He was in a few episodes of Ashes to Ashes, so I'm quite thrilled that they're keeping the parallel between Doctor Who and Ashes to Ashes. And indeed Life on Mars, so that's all very good and fun. Mm. Also, there's a quite a few pictures come online now of filming down in Charleston near St Austell, all the way down in Cornwall, right in the very south of England, where they have been filming for several days. It's on the coast, so there's quite a few sort of rural marine scenes, if you like, on by the beach and so on, but I'm not going to give too much away. You can seek them out if you would so wish, of where there's quite a few nice little pictures and videos and all sorts. I've looked at the pictures, but I haven't really checked out the videos because I haven't wanted to spoil things. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I don't really get on with videos of filming. It kind of spoils the magic for me a little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit weird, but hey-ho.
Well, it's the same episode, apparently, that Hugh Bonneville has been cast in.
Yeah, that's also big news recently, isn't it?
Much of a spoiler, because it's not really his name or anything, but he is cast as, or this is so it sounds, as pirate captain.
As soon as I heard that news, you know, do you know what I thought of instantly?
Bruce Purchase?
Space pirate.
Yeah, the pirate planet.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was going further back than that with the space pirates and Patrick Troughton wearing those helmets. And
Bruce Purchase played the captain, so that's why I immediately thought of him.
Hmm.
But I doubt very much it's going to be the same character. So
no. This is more from the look of the ships and whatnot. It's not a space pirate and more of a Arg, you know.
Arg.
Well, they said that about Voyager the Damned when they saw the costumes and things, but you never know. You never know with Doctor Who.
Well, I mean, obviously we're ecstatic about Hugh Bonneville being cast in this episode, in this role, because it'll probably be pretty prominent. I've been watching Downton Abbey, so this was just kind of coincidental. It's been on Masterpiece Theater here in the States, so
wow,
in the forefront of you know, my viewing lately, and all of a sudden he's in Doctor Who. I was like, jackpot.
Yeah, well, even here in the UK, Downton Abbey's gone down a storm, particularly over Christmas and things, and well, I think it was shown just before Christmas actually,
and giving Upstairs Downstairs a run for its money, from what I hear.
This is it. This has been the huge rivalry between ITV and the BBC. And this is, I know I've taken ITV to task a lot on the show before for not doing, you know, previously their idea of cutting edge drama was Primeval. I mean, that says it all. But they really hit a home run with this. And it completely knocked me for six. It's been superb. And anybody who hasn't checked it out should do so straight away. Even Upstairs Downstairs was fantastic as well, but Downton I think just had the edge slightly, and it's going to be great to see Hugh in Doctor Who, because he's such a terrific actor.
It's Hugh on Who.
Hugh on Who, yeah. To coin a phrase.
If we can take a moment to a break from the news, we have someone else joining us on this podcast.
Ooh, exciting.
If we can.
Calling. Who's going to be on the other end of the line?
Hello?
Hey, Josh. Joshua Lou Freeman, how are you?
This is a bit surprising. Hi.
Hi.
We're on the air and we're recording.
Are we recording right now?
Yes.
Okay, hi.
We're in the middle of the news segment. So.
You've called us in the middle of the news.
Oh, my God. Well, report away. I'm here. I'll stand by for a bit. Yeah, sure.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Joshua Lou Freeman is our Los Angeles correspondent for Doctor Who Podchuck, and a great help to us, especially in this month of February, more so than any other month of the year. But he helps us throughout the whole year.
Yes.
I do attempt to do that. Yes, thank you.
And one of our hosts of LobbyCon on Thursday night,
someone actually, I believe it was David Wheeler, Dave and Tara, contacted me on certain ingredients for certain drinks they were wondering if I was
pouring. Yes.
Wow, they've already put a request.
Yes, your legendary
bartending. Already buying extra provisions for that. So I'm not interrupting like a major news break or anything. I mean, we can talk.
Everyone's this is news. Gallifrey is big news. The cocktails at Gallifrey are big news.
I don't want to be interrupting a big announcement on the new series or something to talk about drinks.
Come on, Josh. You know Podshock. You know how this works by now.
I had no idea. We're looking forward to LobbyCon. Looking forward to the whole kit and caboodle.
Well, you know, we're going to be doing our Gallifrey preview, so if you want to hang on a little bit, you can join us in our Gallifrey preview segment. You of all people who've been there since the very first Gallifrey would be a big help.
By all means, let me get the schedule in front of me too, just in case you have any questions or whatever.
Just in case you need to know what's going on.
I don't have the schedule completely memorized. I know when the live show is at Sunday at 2:00, if I'm not mistaken.
What we're going to try to do is focus on maybe tips and
hello,
Josh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for a minute. I'm back.
All right. So what we're going to try to do in our preview is try to focus on what attendees can expect or give tips or a guide to attendees that, you know, of stuff that they may not have find on the website. So,
Let's wrap up the news.
Wrap up the news. I don't think, I feel like I'm interrupting.
Yeah, you know, you're not interrupting.
You're always welcome on here, Josh.
There's a schedule online, so people can go on and get the schedule and all that. But I think what we're going to try to do is focus on other stuff.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
That to come. So, just to wrap up the news then, Doctor Who is, the fifth series is finally going to appear in France next month on France 4, or France 4. They're showing the 31st series of the show, starting with Le Prisonnier Zero, or what we would know as The 11th Hour, which is going to be on the 12th of February at 8:35 p.m., so fairly late on in proceedings. Which is quite fun, really, because viewers in France got to see the end of The 10th Doctor last Christmas Day, when the same channel showed the Christmas, what we would know as the end of time. And it's really quite great that they've done it. I mean, it takes a bit of time to get it over there, I suppose, in France, because the French prefer shows which are dubbed as opposed to subtitled. So as soon as they've wrapped in the UK, they have to send it over to France and get French actors to, you know, dub all the lines in over Matt and Karen and all the other fantastic actors on the show.
I mean, the whole cast don't just learn French and just re-loop it with...
If only. And if you do have the chance to go over to Gallifrey Base,
yeah,
or the Doctor Who news page, you can see a fantastic little video, which is on YouTube, of Amy and and the Doctor speaking in French. Or being dubbed in French, so, you know, a bit of promotion for the channel, which is a lot of fun. And as well as that, they've also Doctor Who news for any of our French listeners that may be out there listening to the podcast, is that Series 4 will also be released on DVD in French very, very soon.
You probably mean Series 5 or the 30...
No, Series 4, the last series of David Tennant, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's as I say, it takes a bit of time sometimes to bring things out on their DVD with rights and things, and because I think they released series 1, 2, and 3 originally on DVD with subtitles, but since then they've re-released them with the French dubs on top, and there's a great little site where you can, if you are interested in this kind of things, for those listeners in Canada perhaps or in France, there's a fantastic little website called Beans on Toast, which is sort of a French-speaking Doctor Who fan site, if you like, which is found at doctor-who.fr. So it's quite cool, really. I quite like that it's nice to keep up with the Doctor Who news on the continent, so to speak.
Very cool.
What else do we have in the newsroom, then, to wrap things up?
Well, just briefly, our friend of the show, Tony Lee, has his new MTVGeek.com comic, The Gloom, released. And I'm sure if you head over to Tony's website, there's probably a link directly to this new project that MTV Geek is doing. So that's fantastic. It's not directly Doctor Who related, but Tony is a fantastic guy and quite a talent, and so we have to give all the support we can to people who are Doctor Who fans and doing their thing.
Also, indeed. On some related Tony Lee news, to my understanding, I believe it was last week, if not the week before, he tied the knot.
He did.
So, oh, he did, wow. Indeed. And he's been on his honeymoon, I think, somewhere down in Oxfordshire, if not Oxford, which is fantastic.
He was very congratulations kind to Tony.
Send me an invitation to his stag do, but unfortunately I couldn't go. So I hope that he's had a terrific stag. And for those of you in the US, that's a bachelor party, right? I think is the translation.
That's correct.
That is very correct.
And a fantastic wedding weekend, and honeymoon, etc. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
And Tony is Tony involved in the new comic that was just released by Matt Smith here in America?
Yes, he wrote it, I believe, and he got all the usual guys on board with at IDW to do it. I have been meaning to pick it up. You know, I haven't had the chance to read it yet. So yeah,
well, my comic shop called me yesterday, the one I frequent, and they're like, "Well, we've got to decide for you because you've been bothering us for months." So I might be picking it up this afternoon. It's sitting there waiting for me.
Sweet.
Well, Tony joined us at New York Comic Con this past October. So if you go back and seek that episode out, if you want to hear live at New York Comic Con with Tony Lee, that's the episode. And speaking of New York Comic Con, they just announced today that this year's New York Comic Con, October 13th through 16th, 2011, has been expanded to 4 days. So that's really just insane. Now, a 4-day New York Comic Con. So pretty cool stuff. And we'll see if they invite us back.
Very cool.
It would be fools not to.
It was standing room only at the past Comic Con. So we filled up the room and then some.
Yeah, it was a mob scene on that Sunday afternoon. It was very
much to our surprise,
pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And not unlike how it's going to be at PodShock Live this year at Gallifrey.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Right, fans?
With not one, but two surprise guests.
Be there or be square.
Surprise guests, yes.
Very exciting.
Very excited about that.
And then following the live show, we'll have a signing outside with perhaps one or both of our surprise guests and a few other people, so there'll be some autographing going on out there. That'll be fun. We're making Sunday the best day to be at.
Can I comment real quick? And you probably already mentioned this, but those of you curious about the surprise guest, if you don't go to the PodShock Live on Sunday and then you hear about who our surprise guests were, and you'll be, I guarantee, everyone out there will be kicking themselves for having this.
They'll be like, "No, oh, damn it, no!"
You know, totally. I'm just saying that now, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, to me, like, some of the greatest stuff when you go to a convention or an event, and if you remember Gallifrey a few years ago, same kind of thing happened. And, you know, when you go to a Comic-Con or any kind of thing, and someone who wasn't scheduled to be there shows up, that's always cool to me. That's always some of the things that everyone is talking about. And it's funny that we mentioned the Pirate Planet before, because I remember at Icon many years ago, I'm scared to say that it's maybe 20 years ago, Sylvester McCoy was the guest that year, and Bruce Purchase, who played the pirate captain, who's friends with Syl, was in New York, and he came out to Icon to hang out with him. And, of course, as a Doctor Who fan and a Blake 7 fan and whatnot, I immediately knew who he was, you know. And that was so cool because it was so unexpected. And it's a nice thing to meet somebody that you normally would not see at a convention. And it was just great. I thought it was awesome. And I hope to get that feeling delivered to people who come to Gallifrey to the PodShock Live show.
Yeah, I mean, is it safe to say, I believe if I'm not mistaken, at least one of our surprise guests, I don't think has ever done a Doctor Who convention, if I'm not mistaken.
And definitely not one in the States, and possibly maybe not more than one ever.
In my dealings with that person, I believe that's the case.
Your dealings.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you've had a hand in this?
I would have no idea what you're talking about.
I believe that's very true, because I Googled. I did as soon as I was so excited when
about saying that person, not male or female. We will not give
yes. I Googled it to see whether indeed they had been at any conventions in the past, and I couldn't find anything, any information to say that they had. So
I think we got that person first. So
yes.
So definitely don't want to miss out on that.
Yeah, well, it is.
I do know for a fact that the person in question has done a signing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean
yeah,
it's a
con- but not a con. I know, I found that out as much.
Fair
but
enough.
I don't think
and by a signing,
all right,
someone
wait,
might
wait,
have
wait. Let's stop the news and go into Galaxy Preview and pick this up.
Why not?
This
Why
is no? all just blending into one right now.
Yeah, so we'll be right back with our Gallifrey preview. Right.
Hello, this is Katie Manning, and you're listening to Doctor Who Podshock. Or as I read it, Pooshock.
From Gallifrey last year, I might add, the absolutely delightful Katie Manning. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
She's amazing. That was great. She's just awesome.
So we are only a couple of weeks away from Gallifrey 1. Once again, we are returning to Los Angeles for the annual Gallifrey 1 convention, the premier North American Doctor Who convention. And the only drawback to that, being that Ken and I are on the East Coast and some of us are even further than that, is the travel time that it takes to get there, even via plane. That's a good 6.5 hours being cramped in a little commercial airliner seat across in the country. And, well, I guess I shouldn't complain. If it was a couple hundred years ago, we'd be going across the country with horses and carriages, and it would be a couple months. I would have a few months or however long it took. But then again, I don't think if I lived a couple hundred years ago, I would be going to a Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles, would I? Or perhaps I would. But when you're on that plane or in that train or on the car or however you're getting to Gallifrey 1 this year, or even if you're not going to Gallifrey 1, you're still probably doing some sort of transportation, even if it's just a daily commute to and from work, perhaps. Well, one way to pass that time is through audiobooks, and the leading provider of digital audiobooks is Audible. They have over 75,000 titles to choose from in every genre. That covers business, thrillers, history, yes, science fiction and fantasy. They have lots of Doctor Who titles. If you go to their site and check out their category under science fiction, you'll see that Doctor Who has an even greater selection than even Star Wars or Star Trek in that category. And for you listeners of Doctor Who Podshock, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial, so you have a chance to check out their service. Now, to download your free audiobook, simply go to audiblepodcast.com/arttrap. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/arttrap, ARTTRAP, for your free audiobook. And as always, we like to make a recommendation, and what better recommendation for a long trip than maybe one of the longest Doctor Who stories that were transmitted back in the 1960s. This is a Patrick Troughton story. The audiobook comes in about 5 hours. It's Doctor Who and the War Games. It's written by Malcolm Hulk, and it's narrated by David Troughton, Patrick Troughton's son.
Stood the TARDIS. The Doctor's time and space machine, which from the outside looked exactly like an old-fashioned blue police box. After their last adventure, the Doctor had promised to try and return Jamie to his own homeland and time, Scotland in 1745, where Jamie had been fighting English redcoats in the Second Jacobite Rebellion before he had met the Doctor. Jamie turned to the Doctor. "This looks nothing like my country. Are we even on Earth?" The Doctor was locking the door of the TARDIS. "I think so, Jamie. The question is, when?" Zoe, the Doctor's other companion, and an astrophysicist from a time in the distant future, had already walked some distance from the TARDIS to explore their surroundings. She called from a rise in the ground, "Doctor, there's something down here." She went down the other side, out of sight. The Doctor and Jamie followed her, squelching through the mud. They found Zoe staring at a tangle of rusted wire. "It's not much, but it's something," she said. "It's the only sign of life so far. What are the little spikes for?" At regular intervals, twisted barbs stuck out from the tangled wire. Barbed wire, the doctor explained. Filthy stuff. Invented by an American to pen in cattle on the range. Then used against human beings. What's that? Jamie pointed to an oval-shaped domed object, half-submerged in the mud. A steel helmet, said the doctor. I think we have arrived in one of the most terrible times in the history of Earth. A distant rumble of heavy artillery gunfire drifted to them on the breeze. It was followed by a loud, high-pitched whine from the sky. Get down! Using both hands, the doctor pushed Zoe and Jamie into a crater, throwing himself on top of them. Zoe shouted, Oh, it's wet and filthy! But her words were drowned by an ear-shattering explosion less than 20 meters away. A second shell screamed down and whacked into the soft ground, sending up a spurt of flame and smoke. It was followed by a third. Then silence. The air was filled with the acrid stench of high explosives. You said we've landed in one of the most terrible times in history, Jamie panted, his heart racing. What's happening, Doctor? The doctor remained where he had fallen, lying on top of his companions. The First World War. It lasted from 1914 to 1918. 4 years when the whole of Europe went mad. Eventually, the Americans and Japanese and almost everyone joined in. They all believed they were right and that they were heroes. Zoe asked, Is it safe to get up now? I'm lying in water. I say, are you three all right? They looked up. Standing on the edge of the crater was an attractive young woman in a long khaki skirt and a matching military-style jacket. Jamie was the first to scramble to his feet. Where are we? Between the lines, said the young woman. No place for civilians. I'm heading for Ypres, but I seem to have got lost. Can I give you a lift in my ambulance? The doctor stood up and helped Zoe to her feet. Over the brim of the crater, he saw a khaki-coloured truck bearing a large red cross. That's very kind of you, ma'am, but you see... He stopped short. Emerging from another crater were two soldiers with spiked helmets. They levelled their rifles at the young lady ambulance driver and at the doctor.
Handy hoch!
One of them called, the German for hands up. Oh dear, said the young Englishwoman. I'm afraid we are now all prisoners of war. She seemed quite unruffled. The doctor, Zoe and Jamie sat on the floor in the back of the ambulance as it trundled along a bumpy road through wastes of mud. One of the German soldiers stood over them, rifle at the ready.
Wohin fahren wir?
Where are we going? Asked the doctor. The soldier said nothing. He looked tired, hungry, and unwashed. Jamie whispered, Couldn't we jump him, Doctor? The doctor shook his head. Remember, his companion is holding a gun on our lady driver.
And that's just a small sampling of it. Check it out. It's Doctor Who and the War Games. That's the title of this audiobook. And it's gotten some rave reviews so far from fans. This was just released. Audible got it on the 1st of February. Once again, you can make this your selection or choose from any that Audible has to offer. For your free selection, simply go to audiblepodcast.com/arttrap. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/arttrap for your free audiobook. And if you can't write that URL down, then simply go to our website, gallifreyanimacy.org or podshock.net, and you can click on the promotional link there for this offer.
Okay, so It's time for our Gallifrey 22, or shall we call it Gallifrey 1, 22. How do they
work? It's Gallifrey 1. It's Catch 20. Their slogan is Catch 22, isn't it?
That's, Catch 22, Islands of
Mystery. Islands of Mystery, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I went out last summer and I bought a bunch of Hawaiian shirts to fit in. And, of course... I don't know. Do fezes and bow ties? They don't work with Hawaiian shirts. Boy, it's gonna be a hodgepodge. I bet.
Yeah, fezes, I mean, I expect to see many o fez being sported by fans since the finale of last season.
Yeah, no doubt. And
maybe
also,
a few Stetsons for those ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah.
Stetsons and Hawaiian shirts work.
Do they? At certain
both American, surely.
Yeah, at certain parties I've been to, I'm no doubt we'll see something similar.
So, here's what we have. We have a Gallifrey preview. It's happening, of course, on Friday, February 18th, Saturday, February 19th, and Sunday, February 20th. Sunday, February 20th being the best day of the con.
Oh, of course, especially at 2 o'clock.
2011, yes. So, the tentative schedule is up now. It does change. It is a growing, living document that doesn't get finalized till you're actually sitting in the room. But for the most part, I would say it's probably at like a 90% completion at this point, where you can pretty much count on most of the people and most of the days and times being kind of accurate. They are subject to change because you have a lot of last minute things with guests and rooms and things like that. So
You can get your tickets there at the event now. They closed the advance tickets as of last night. So
1,350 advanced tickets sold.
Wow.
Which is more.
It's incredible.
More advanced tickets than we had attendees at our first, the first Gallifrey that we ever went to, Lewis.
Yeah.
What were the final totals from last year? What was last year's count? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
Wasn't the year before, wasn't the number of advance registrations around the 600 or 700 mark?
Yeah, so this is really, I mean, they've got the entire convention floor. They have the most advanced registrations they ever had. There's still plenty of room for walk-ups, so if you didn't get your tickets, it's still a bargain. I mean, when you think about it, $75,
I think. It is phenomenal value.
Phenomenal for what is dozens of Doctor Who guests.
Non-Doctor
Who guests.
The thing that most surprised me about Gallifrey, being a UK fan, was just how astonishingly affordable the tickets are compared to UK conventions.
And that's the three-day pass. You can actually, to the event itself, they don't sell these in advance, but I think you can get a one-day pass, which is less money.
Yeah, just for showing up.
I personally can vouch that I spend more than that, what the three-day pass is for. I spend more than that on just buying booze for one night.
That is
quite a bargain, my friends.
It is. And because you can pay twice that for a single UK convention, which might only be 2 days, or in certain instances, 1 day. And you get so much more for your money. Agreed, you've got to get out there from the UK. But when you're there, you have such an amazing time.
And each year you can buy an advance ticket for the following year, which is like half the price. It was like $40 last year for this year.
Every year, last year, for those of you who remember at the live show or listened to the live show, I held my receipt up. I said, look, I bought my ticket for next year before I even went on stage for the live show on Sunday.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I knew I was coming back. Not only was it a savings for me, which is self-interest, but it helps the convention because they know they have they already have a budget to start with on day one. The day after the convention, the organizers already had a budget to work with, and it was only going to grow as people continued to register. So it was a win-win.
Yeah, so like James said, the expenses are probably traveling to get here, depending on where you live. Does it upset you guys that I live 10 minutes away from the...
Yes, very much so.
Just slightly, but that's... The thing is, it is for... And Lewis can attest to this. It's been snowing here in New York every week for the last few weeks. And the...
And major storms, too, not just...
Sun and palm trees is very appealing right now.
Does it also upset you that I was actually going to go tanning before I...
You suck.
You've got all the luck. You've got all the luck, my friend.
I couldn't resist. I actually was. It's funny. All right, go.
As long as you make the weather okay for us when we get there, that's all that we can ask.
Well,
for.
You know, a lot of the English guests, maybe including James, they do have a tendency to bring the weather with them, so to speak, as evident in the past. But hoping that's not the case this year.
Yeah. I wanted in previous years to at least have a dip in the pool, and that was, forget that the past two times. But
true. Maybe that'll change this time. I'll definitely be there as well.
Well, that's a good point there, that there is a pool there at the hotel. So if the weather is, you know, welcoming, and if it's above, I guess, what, 70 or so, if we're lucky, you can. Well, is it a heated? It's a heated pool, isn't it?
I was just gonna say, I think the pool is heated.
It is.
I've never been in it. I've tried to on a couple occasions. The one year I was all set. My hotel room was on the first floor poolside with a door out to the pool, and I brought all my stuff. I was like, I'm going to get a nice swim in while I'm in Los Angeles, and it's February. It rained the whole
week. Rained like buckets, yeah.
So I have it figured out this year. I'm not going to bring any of that stuff.
And it's going to be beautiful.
It happens to be nice. I'm going to con Josh into driving me to Target.
And you won't need much arm twisting. Yeah. You won't need much arm twisting there. I plan on being out there sipping mojitos at one point or another.
Several points, hopefully.
So despite what the four of us make it sound like, it isn't all just drunken madness, although that's a bonus and not officially part of you know what? I had this conversation, or I should say I overheard a conversation about this with some of the actors, and they made a good point. They just said, look, this is... As adults, as adult fans, this is our way, our release, our way of getting out and just having a good time and seeing friends. And you know, this is just the way we do it. It's not necessarily part of it. It's just I'm on vacation when I'm out there. So if I'm on vacation, I'm going to relax and have a good time. And that's the way I'm choosing to relax.
But it is, you know, LobbyCon is so much fun. You know, with the karaoke as well and all of the other... you know, amazing things that you can do that whilst they're at Galley. You know, it's almost like the sort of panels and things are almost like a secondary thing. It's just nice to meet like-minded fans and chat to them and have so much fun. I mean, I think when I posted up on Facebook that I couldn't go this year, unfortunately, one of the first people to comment was our good mate Lewis Bailey over at the Happiness Patrol, who said, who's going to drink and sing with me now? And I think, you know, I'm sure that you guys can fly the flag for me. So, you know, go and have a drink with Uncle Lou and sing some karaoke with him.
In fact, am I mistaken? I could be wrong about this. Isn't Lewis Bailey's, during LobbyCon, I think they're having a dance or what? What did I got a message from him. There's some kind of dance happening that night as well. And we're talking
LobbyCon. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, we're talking. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard, that there'll be some kind of dance going on that the night before everything starts, which is...
Well, that's the same time as our meetup, so I don't know if he's planning it accordingly to our meetup or what. This is the first I heard about it.
Be in conjunction with it.
Or maybe we'll be dancing at the meetup.
It could very well be the case. Last year, he brought a ukulele, and he was playing, you know, at our meetup there. So anything goes.
Anything does go. Well, provided that you're not doing anything to damage the hotel.
Yeah, we don't need the Los Angeles Police Department at our meetup. I mean, they're invited, but we don't need them.
They're invited.
They are invited. That would be great. Come on in, guys.
We just don't want them there professionally speaking. know.
That is phenomenal. Oh, God.
So let's take a look at a few highlights over the course of the weekend on the actual schedule, at the real convention, not the things that happen, which are all... That's one of the great things about Gallifrey, is that the peripheral things, the things that aren't even official, are just as fun. You know, you go and you meet other people and you have a good time, and there's a lot of socializing and networking going on. And all that stuff is fantastic. And some of my favorite memories from Gallifrey are like little tiny things about going to dinner. We went to Pan's Diner last year.
Amy brought us to Pan's, which was a lovely 50s America Connor type of diner.
That has nothing to do with the convention, yet that was one of my favorite times at the convention. So, but let's go to the schedule a little bit and take a look at some of the stuff that you can look forward to. First off, if you're a newcomer, the very first thing on the schedule, 11 a.m. Friday morning, is Gallifrey 101, which is a primer. Some of the organizers and the people who really know Gallifrey best have a small panel, briefing, whatever you want to call it, where newcomers, virgins, can go and really get a few questions answered and some pointers and some tips from the people who have been with Gallifrey since the beginning.
I'm going to attend that just to say hi to my buddy Sean, who, if you try to catch him during the con, it's like trying to draw a diagonal line on an Etch-a-Sketch. It's almost impossible. The man is so busy. So
tell me about it.
Way to stop by and say hi to Sean, because it ain't happening during the con. He's a busy
he's a
man.
Very busy man.
He's a busy man, and you can understand why, given the size of the program. And,
oh yeah,
you know, just even looking at the map, which is a sort of attached along with the schedule. This year, when I first went to Galley, the main program hall is what is now the dealer's room. And the main program hall has, like, trebled in size. It's phenomenal.
Well, that's a good point.
It begs the question that they've had the capacity to expand every year, luckily, because, they've usually had other things going on at the hotel, other events and conventions and things.
Yeah, so the Mary Kay girls or whoever they were last year won't be
whatever
there.
Was going on. the fembots, as Lewis Bailey called them. But it begs the question of, it's gotten bigger and bigger every year and better, what are they going to do next year? And every year they sort of excel themselves. And just looking at the schedule, it's phenomenal what they've packed in.
Well, we've and taken over the hotel.
Yeah, and even though they have a map posted here, bring your breadcrumbs, folks. Bring your breadcrumbs.
Or unravel a scarf.
Or unravel a scarf. quite the maze, no matter where you're from. Yeah.
There'll be other scarves there if you need it. So, that's lots of great stuff going on. And also, if you can print out the schedule, this is something that our other correspondent, Matt Durin, has always pointed out, that you can take the schedule, print it off the website, and highlight it, what you might want to attend. And it's a good idea to do, but, just allow yourself some flexibility, because it's going to be impossible. Even if you plan it out meticulously, you're just, plan on missing stuff or other stuff that comes up that you want to go to. And don't be so rigid is what I'm saying. So just allow some flexibility there.
Well, I like to highlight things as where I'm probably going to go. But do you know what
you aim for, what you shoot for?
Yeah, it's what you shoot for. But if you miss the board, it doesn't matter. You'll still have an amazing time when you throw in that dart. It's just, you'll always find something fun to go to. And
you know, just going in there, just know that you're not going to be able to see everything. It's just there's stuff that's overlapping, and as much as you would like to, you're just not going to be able to see everything that's there. Just go into that so that you know that, and you're not going to be disappointed later.
Yeah, absolutely. But what do you think are the most essential things that people really, looking at the schedule, what would you say, this is what people have to go to?
Well, Star Trek Live.
Well, of course that, but it depends what your tastes are, who you like, and there's so many different, the guest list is enormous, so if you look at the guests who are appearing, and maybe several of the actors a lot of the actors there that haven't really, at least I haven't seen in a while, which I'm looking forward to seeing, which is Sarah Sutton, Matthew Waterhouse, Janet Fielding, those three I haven't seen in a good 25 years, so I'm looking forward to seeing those again. But it depends on where you're coming from and your own experience, but you want to catch what you like, and if you're into there's all different aspects of fandom represented there as well. So if you're in the more of the technical side and you want to know about costumes and the actual making of Doctor Who and all that. So there's guests that are catered more towards that. So
sure.
Whether it's actors or production people, whether it's cosplaying or literature, there's plenty of authors and book tracks and things like that. Whatever aspect of fandom is your thing, classic series, new series, Torchwood, Sarah Jane, there's something for everyone. And perhaps you focus or highlight more. Like Lewis said, he was really interested in seeing the Fifth Doctor's actors
companions,
again,
yeah,
because he hasn't seen them in so long. So that's something that he's going to gravitate towards by looking for the panels thereon or the discussions thereon, if that's the thing that interests him.
Sure.
And right off the bat, like right after that primer, only an hour into the convention, you have that interview block with Matthew Waterhouse and McNeese and John Leeson and Coach Jumbo, who's been added from
Torchwood.
Big fan of that. Her character in that was amazing, so I'm actually looking forward to seeing.
She's joining us on Podshock Live on Sunday.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I'm not waiting. I want to see her.
He says,
invite her to the meet and greet.
I'll give it a go. We'll see.
What else is happening on Friday?
Well, the fact that Jacqueline Pierce has been added as a Blake 7
yes,
fan.
First off, awesome.
I'm a huge Blake 7 fan. On top of that, she's got Doctor Who credits and Big Finish credits and things like that. But she's just going to add a whole new dimension because you've just gone and added Blake 7 into the mix on top of Torchwood and Doctor Who and Sarah Jane Adventures and all the things that surround us.
And she doesn't make a lot of convention appearances. This is something special.
In the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very rare. Very rare.
A post-production note, since this episode was originally recorded, there's been some changes, and unfortunately Jacqueline Pierce will be unable to attend the convention, so in her stead, Gareth Thomas will be appearing live on stage with us at the convention. Gareth Thomas played the lead character, well, there might be some debate, but the lead character as far as the namesake goes in Blake 7. You may also remember him from Torchwood. He appeared in the episode Ghost in the Machine from the first series of Torchwood. And he's also been in some Doctor Who audio dramas such as Storm Warning and Dalek Empire. So we're very excited to have Gareth Thomas with us, joining us on our live show, along with our other guests. For any other last-minute changes concerning our live show or our meet-and-greet that we're having that Thursday night, be sure to follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter screen name is Podshock, so twitter.com/Podshock. Also visit our website, podshock.net, for more information and further updates.
Other than guests, then, on Friday, I'd say, looking at the schedule.
And it's funny that we're talking about this. Sorry to interrupt you, James. It's funny we're talking about this. This is at a convention that Peter Davison is at.
Who?
Yes.
I'm only kidding.
We're saying things like that, and we haven't even mentioned the headlining guest, Peter Davison.
Yeah, there is a doctor in this Doctor Who convention, actually, being going to appear.
Saving the best until last, of course. But on Friday, just having a quick scan through then, I'd say, other than all the fantastic interviews and things, Radio Free Skara, of course, our good mates over there, are having their live taping in 3D.
It's in 3D.
It's in 3D, yeah. ours isn't technical, though. We haven't quite got up to 3D yet, but, you know, 3D, we'll get there. And then at 9 o'clock at night as well, I think something which you can't really afford to miss and which was a hoot last year, we were very fortunate to talk to the ladies over If Chicks Dig Time Lords, and they're doing another panel this year, which is If Chicks Dig Time Lords Is Doctor Who Feminist, which I think would be quite a fun thing to sit in on and see what's going on there, because they're a really fun bunch of girls. And
the Chicks Dig Time Lords crew are just the best.
Basically. They are.
And I love it's in an 18 over panel.
That's
my kind of thing.
Yeah, that gravitates me towards
James,
that.
Before you got to that, though, because that's at 9 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, Fraser Hines is doing the Time Traveling Scott, which is his stand-up routine, like his live one-man show. It's a variation of his 50-year celebration.
Yeah.
And he's debuting it at Gallifrey at 8 o'clock on Friday night on the main stage.
That's very true. You see, there's just so much going on that even I knew it was there, but I thought it was happening later, and you're right, it's just before. So the best thing to do, I guess, is you got to go to the opening ceremonies. You might then go for a bit of a drink or something to eat then. 8 o'clock, bang, straight in there to see Fraser. Move over to If Chicks Dig Time Lords.
Then you stick around because Fraser and Sam Stone are doing their adults-only panel.
Oh, they're just going to talk about hanging out with me here last year. That's definitely that's all it is. No, but now, even though we're kind of suggesting that, let's not forget at 9 o'clock also, though, that Mysterious Theater 337, they're doing their Castro Valva comedy.
Oh, yes.
These guys are friggin' hilarious. I mean, if you've never caught one of their, one of their Mystery Science Theater gags over the episodes, they are just, it's well recommended if chicks who dig Time Lords and the Telosa reading isn't your cup of tea or can of beer, so to speak. So, you know, I recommend that as well. Those guys are, I mean, they're literally hilarious. I always try to catch them every year.
Well, before we go any further, I just want to make a mention that we're referring to the website, and we should also, for those, I mean, we kind of just assume everyone knows, but it's Gallifrey1.com is the web address, and that has all the information of, as far as the schedule goes, all the guests.
And spell out one. Spell out one.
It's, Gallifrey, yeah, it's not the number one. It's O-N-E. So it's Gallifrey1.com. Or if you go to our website, you know, podshock.net or gallifreyembassy.org, we have links to it, you know, there as well. So
yeah,
you'll get to the website. And all this, the schedule information, and plus all the programming and guests, hotel information. Speaking of which, I know, you know, the official hotel rooms, as far as the discount group price, have been all sold out. But they're, you still, I mean, they're more expensive, but you still can get rooms at the hotel. And there are other options as well. So there's the Crown Plaza, which is across the street. And I know we spoke about this already in past Dr. Podshock. So, but just bringing that, you know, reminding you about the hotel reservations are still available.
Mm.
There's a gallery. I think there's, you can see pictures of past Gallifreys as well, information about the masquerade and auction. I know they give proceeds of the auction are going to a foundation in the name of Bob May, who played the robot in Lost in Space, who fortunately we had the pleasure of meeting at, I think, at our first time attending at Gallifrey. And
yes.
He's passed on since then, and he's a good friend of, you know, the convention, and he's a wonderful, you know, I had spent some time with him, talking with him. He was a wonderful person, and, you know, it's unfortunately we did lose him, but they keep a memorial charity auction at Gallifrey, you know, each year now.
Which, yeah, he used to MC it, so, every year, so that's why. And he's sorely missed.
So, Josh, you have been going to Gallifrey for quite some time now, and not
every year. Yeah,
every year.
Wait! Before you go any further, gents, I have to leave. I'm really late at this point. I'm trying to stick around, so I'm just going to bow out from here and hope.
Sure, mate. Sorry to keep you, but thanks for coming along. And
all right, gents,
have a good one, mate.
All right,
see you
soon. Sorry.
Cheers.
Back to Gallifrey. So, yeah, so Josh, you
wrapping up Friday, correct? That was for everything going on?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
And there's, of course, the all-night dance party and
karaoke.
Yeah. And then there's another adults-only panel at 11, Sex and Sensibility in Doctor Who. I have no idea what that's about, but throw sex in the title, and I guess I'll be there to check it out a little bit. So, yeah. And then I guess we'll just want to move on to Saturday, guys?
Absolutely. Saturday's the jam-packed day, isn't it, really?
Mm.
That's the day for interviews. They've got Sarah Sutton there, who's going to be interviewed by Clayton Hickman, who is, you know, a legend in Doctor Who, and Doctor Who fandom, indeed, as well. Then you've got, later on, you've got a round table with Jacqueline Pierce, Cush Jumbo, Sarah Douglas, Ian McNeice, moderated, of course, by Paul Jones at one. Then you've got Big Finish, which is always a great thing to go to, who's going to have Jason Hay Gallery there, Sheridan Smith, Philip Oliver, behind the scenes of Doctor Who in the 21st century with Tracy Simpson, Neil Gorton, Gareth Roberts, Paul Casey, Gareth Skelding. All the guys who've worked behind the scenes to make the show what it is, on all the special effects and makeup and all the things that make the show so fantastic. And then in the late afternoon, you've got Janet Fielding there, interviewed by Gary Russell, who is an absolute hoot. Well, indeed, both of them, both Janet and Gary, are wonderful people. And then 5 p.m., just probably break before, then afterwards you'll probably just have dinner, but Peter Davidson, which is the one which, of course, you can't miss at 5 o'clock. You know, last year, I suppose it was a little bit weird, wasn't it? Because other than Colin, who'd been there the year before, I don't think they didn't actually have a doctor there at Galley. And even Colin was only there for a short period of time. He wasn't there for the full convention, if I remember right. And still, it was a jam-packed convention, but still. Yeah. Doctor Who, you've got to have a doctor at a Doctor Who convention, really. I mean, it's great even if you can't get a doctor there, but that's really what makes it. And yeah. It's great that he's able to find time in his schedule this year to come along, because last year he was working on Legally Blonde.
He was originally scheduled for last year. That's the reason why there was no Doctor last year, because it was originally going to be him, and then he got over extended at his production that he was doing in his stage production.
but if he didn't cancel out, we would not have had that lovely video that
he sent, that little videogram.
And it's also a blessing in disguise, of course, because as Lewis has hinted at, this year marks the year where it is, you know, basically the sort of the convention for the Fifth Doctor era. So if you're a Fifth Doctor fan, you've got Peter Davison there, you've got Janet Fielding there, you've got Sarah Sutton there. I mean, it's just, if you're a Fifth Doctor,
it's the recreation of the early Davison years, really, you know. Yeah.
And Matthew Waterhouse, let's not forget.
Yes, exactly, Adric. So you can't miss it. If you were a fan of Doctor Who in the 80s, you've got to be there. It's, you know, you can't miss it. What else on Saturday then looks fun? Yeah.
Well, just to a point to that point about Matthew Waterhouse is that we are coming full circle, pun intended, because Matthew Waterhouse is what sort of started this all. The Gallifreyan Embassy's first interview with someone connected with Doctor Who was Matthew Waterhouse.
Really?
Back, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, back in 1985, summer of 85, our first interview. I mean, we've met other actors and actresses involved, but our first proper interview was with Matthew Waterhouse that year.
Full circle indeed.
Well, that night is the masquerade on Saturday. After, you know, Peter Davison.
Of course, yeah.
You have a couple hours to grab a bite to eat or escape the hotel for a bit and enjoy some. Well, Josh can tell you some eateries, but we'll.
Oh yeah. Well, that's. I mean, I guess this is what's not on the schedule, and I guess this is a good reason why I've called in. Both Friday and Saturday night, if the dances or the masquerades aren't your thing, they always say they're not going to do it next year, but they do it anyway. And those are the parties in that suite by the pool.
Yes.
The Friday night one is usually, Andy and, those guys do the – they always just do such an amazing job with whatever
theme. These are theme parties.
It's a theme parties. And – pretty incredible, actually, and
they go all out. I mean, all out.
And then Merv and his wife Judith, they do it the next morning or the next evening, and those parties are a lot of fun. And I you can't miss them. All you have to do, I forget the actual suite number. All you have to do is go out to the pool, do a 360. You'll see the party.
Yeah. It's usually bleeding outside, you know, into the pool area.
Yeah, and Kevin and Andy do a great job, and so do Merv and Judith. And I can't remember. I've sling drinks there myself. Phil, what was the producer, was slinging
Phil
drinks.
Phil Collinson, yeah.
Phil Collinson was slinging drinks. I mean, you never know who's going to show up, and I can't recommend those enough. Not on the schedule.
It's the first floor. I think it's usually like the presidential suites, like 101 or 100 or something like that.
The ground floor for those in the UK to avoid confusion.
Yeah. Oh, the ground floor. Again, all you have to do, go to the pool, look around. Either
you'll see a mass of people and just wander over.
You can't miss it. So
yeah,
it for you if you're not already in the know.
And one thing to mention, of course, is that the drinks there are free, but give good tips, because these guys go all out every year. They put on a terrific show.
They do. And if you don't, you know, bring your tip jar, which as a bartender on the side, I don't recommend. But if you don't bring tips, maybe grab a bottle or something and contribute, because that really helps, mm-hmm. Keep the the party going. You know, I always show up with a bottle of Grey Goose and just go, here, throw it into the mix. And whatever you can do, it all helps.
A note about the masquerade is that it is very popular, and if you do want to get you want to get in there early to get a good seat, and otherwise you're going to be stuck in the back and hard to see the costumes. And usually it's
is the mistake we make every year.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually more than just a costume. These people put a lot of them will do a performance. It's like a show in itself.
Little acts, little vignettes, so to speak.
So it's a lot of fun.
Good stuff. And I see there are yet even more 18 and over panels that night going on. What is going on? I mean, I think it's great, but I've never seen so many adults-only panels
And it seems to be a trend that it seems that since last year they've really run with it. I think, as far as I'm aware, they had a few last year and maybe one the year before. I don't, you know. But you're the expert, Josh, of course, being there from the beginning. So.
Well, I've noticed that, yeah, there was maybe one or two, maybe 2 years back, I'm not sure. And then and I noticed there was a presence on that kind of thing more last year and this year. It's like, wow, every night and more than one. Even, what is it, erotic fiction and feminism? Oh, Sam Stone, of course. Anyway, so, you know, there's a lot going on there. And it's that having been to them all that, you're right. It is seems to be a trend that's growing, and I'll check one or two of those out.
Yeah, that's Saturday night.
Yeah. All right, and so again, you know, the other tip, I could just look for those parties on the ground floor that's not on the schedule, and everything that's on the schedule is great. And yeah, and then they have a concert from. Now I didn't catch these guys last year.
No, I didn't either. Yeah,
no, did I?
At concert, but. It seems to have been a success, and if they're invited back, it seems to be worth looking into.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Have a drink and go check them out. Shall we move on to Sunday?
Yes,
Sunday.
Not?
Okay, apart from the Podchuck Live at 2 o'clock, I don't see really anything in here worth going to see.
Well, Ken, if he were here at this point, would be stating the fact that he wants to make Sunday the new Saturday. that's his quest, I think, in life. In
so that means Monday will be the new Sunday.
Exactly. Well, really, it happens that way because, let's face it, we're all there at LobbyCon till goodness know what time at night after going out for dinner and so on. And,
well, this Monday is this year, I should say, it's back on track on its usual weekend. So this Monday after the convention is President's Day. So many people will, at least in the U.S., will have that off. So that gives a little buffer zone. So, it could very well be that you're staying in Los Angeles for another day.
And it really is advisable. I mean, I know quite a few people leave maybe a little bit early, but you miss a little bit of fun as the convention closes. And you kind of need that day. Really
to kind of decompress a bit.
Yeah, to recuperate, because it does.
And it's going to really take you a day to say goodbye to everyone at the convention anyway.
Yeah, the people who you meet and just had such a fun time, and just even through lack of sleep, you just need it to sort of say, you know, hey, I really need to rest now and what have you. But it's such fun. It's so worth it. But there's just an awful lot of really cool things going on on Sunday. Well, Gareth Roberts will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say that,
for us.
You know, every Sunday at the closing ceremonies, my head is just spinning. I'm like, I can't believe 3 days have gone by already, because
it
just
feels
goes
like
so
maybe
quickly.
A day or two. It flies by so quickly. And I think the whole point about the schedule and things is just make the most of it while you're there, because it really is so special, and I'm gutted that I can't go this year, but, you know, such is the way of the world. But you will have an amazing time no matter what you do while you're there. Just make the most of it. Go to Starbucks to top up on your caffeine every, you know.
Yeah, there is a Starbucks located in the lobby. It's not a company Starbucks. It's, you know, it's a hotel Starbucks. So just saying that in case you have a Starbucks card, they won't honor it.
Yeah, they won't take it, sadly.
Yeah.
But if you're really properly hardcore, you'll stay up and you'll see the Starbucks open.
Well, and my biggest gripe about that Starbucks is that it closes too early. I mean, come 6 o'clock
like
at night, it's
like
closed.
Like Champions closes way too early. I hope
they close at midnight, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, we have been literally kicked out of the door at Champions, haven't we?
Three or four
of us.
It makes no sense. And being a New Yorker, where the bars stay open till 4 a.m. You were just not used to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even last year, I think we were there. Josh and I were sitting and having a conversation or something. It was quarter to midnight. We were thinking about going to get another drink, and, you know,
they called last call or something.
They called last call like 15 minutes before the actual place closed. And I'm like, what's going on? But
it doesn't make much sense. You got a hotel there full of people looking to make purchases.
Yeah, and for Starbucks, too, the both of them is like, no, we don't want your money. I mean, what? That's not good business.
I think they're just like, you know what, we've had to deal with, you know, people drunk and off the
caffeinated
caffeine, so you know they're probably just fed up and like, I'm sod this, I'm going home. But nevertheless, you'd have thought that for 3 days they could make an exception.
I mean, I understand staffing issues, but you got people there with money in hand, you know, and closing the gate on them. So that's my little beef about the hotel, yeah.
Now,
yes,
that's the
bad thing about it.
Yeah, not that the on the alcohol end, not that the drinks aren't still flowing in the lobby, not unlike LobbyCon. I mean, that usually. And then those parties I mentioned too, there's still, you know, there's, look around, there's places to find, you know, libations for to keep your evening going, because just because these establishments close down early, the convention does not.
Yeah, LobbyCon continues, and to their credit, the convention doesn't hassle the people in the lobby. You know, it's not like they go around like, okay, well, you got to go back to your rooms or whatever.
They don't hassle other people in the lobby. I always have a run-in of some kind.
Oh. Well,
par for the course.
Absolutely.
You're exceptional.
Well, you know, if I see a plant that's in the lobby, I want to take it up to the room with me. Why not? You know.
Absolutely.
Put the plant and the drink down. Put the plant and the drink down. So.
Well, no, put the plant down. The drink stays where it is.
Go figure. Back to Sunday, though. We're on Sunday.
Yes.
Taking a look here. Oh, Barnaby Edwards. I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him since I was out in New York, and you guys, we had the thing for his birthday.
Yeah.
Was it Barnaby's birthday when I was out there with?
You know what it is? That was that year. And obviously his birthday is every year, but you were here for that year where we did a joint meetup with, it was the 24th anniversary of the Gallifreyan Embassy. Plus it was, Barnaby's birthday, I think, was right around there. So we celebrated his birthday at the meetup as well. So it was Doctor Who New York, which is the group that Barnaby heads up, which is a New York based Doctor Who fan club, and we were there
like a liar's truth tellers panel that
brought Daphne Ashbrook with us, and yeah. And obviously you, and we had Tara Wheeler with us as well, and yes. It was a grand old time. We had a few people coming out from, you know, the island that were Gallifreyan Embassy members, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
and Billy was there with us, and you guys drove me to White Castle. Thanks again, because we don't have that out.
Well, by request. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't have done that. And that's only because you requested it.
Get me to the White Castle. So Barnaby's doing it 10 a.m. on Sunday, but he's doing the Truth Tellers, Liars, / panel, and I believe Tony Lee there is joining him for that.
Yes. Again, you know, we're just kind of like picking little points and of interest on the schedule. There's so much more that we're not saying, so please, yep. You know, go to the website and print out the schedule, take a look at it, and study it. There's four tracks of programming going on simultaneously, so there's really no way for us to kind of really cover it all. So, just don't take what we say as the only thing going on, because there's so much more that we're not covering.
Absolutely. There's too much to, you know, you can't really go through it in too much depth without getting swarmed and swamped. Just get out your highlighter, see what you want to do, and stick to it as much as you can.
At 4:30, there's a Classic Who Roundtable, which is going to have Peter Davison, Janet Fielding, Sarah Sutton, Matthew Waterhouse, John Leeson, who played the voice of K-9, in case you don't know, Fraser Hines, and John Levine, Sergeant Benton. They're all doing a round. That's going to be an interesting roundtable discussion.
Levine's involved. I'm surprised they're only scheduling it for an hour.
Well, he does have an hour with John Levine somewhere on the schedule.
Yeah, that's against the Peter Davison. So, if the Peter Davison thing is too crowded for you, or you're like maybe not a Peter Davison fan, go check out An Hour with John Levine. That's on Saturday, and that's in the other hall. So definitely, John's always a hoot.
Never loss of words.
Never. Why use one word when 400 will do? He's amazing, though. He's a good friend.
So. No, he's a good guy.
He's a wonderful chap. Wonderful chap.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for autographs, be sure to check out when the autograph sessions are. And also, when you're at the convention itself, please go to the registration booth or window, whatever. There's usually a like a whiteboard there with changes to the schedule, because what's on, you know, there's going to be some last-minute schedule changing. Some guests may not be able to make it, or there's going to be some room changes or whatever. So always make sure to check that the registration area, which is, you know, like I said, it's like a window. Unless they moved it around this year, it's usually like a little,
like,
window,
a box
open.
Office, yeah, if you will. Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to, that registration is supposed to open up on Friday morning of the hotel. Now, last year they had they did open on Thursday night, but they were volunteer. You know, they just kind of did that as a volunteer thing. It wasn't officially open, is what I'm saying. But you were, so you, if you're there Thursday night, you might want to just check just to see if unofficially they're open and you can get your registration. You know, if that's possible. But officially, it opens up again on Friday morning.
Awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that, actually, so that's a hot tip for me. I'm definitely a one who buys at the last minute. And, yeah, Thursday I'll...
Well, it's good just to get your badges, and even if you bought it in advance, just to get your badges and everything out of the way,
sure,
Thursday night, if you're there Thursday night, to do that, you know. And then this way on Friday you could just have a leisurely breakfast and then go to the convention without having to wait on a line for your registration badges and all that.
And, oh, Lewis, did we mention Sunday about the Doctor Who live Potshock taping at 2 o'clock?
I hear there's going to be two special guests.
Oh, didn't we?
With the two special guests?
When we say special guests, these are not convention guests. You won't see them on the convention lineup here. So these are special guests that we're bringing to our live recording on stage at Gallifrey. This is we've been doing this for several years now, and we're more than delighted to. It seems to be expanding each year, both in length and now with guests. We have a big lineup this year. Lots of exciting guests. You can find out more information on our site as well, podshock.net and gallifreyembassy.org. But there's going to be two surprise guests, two Doctor Who surprise guests that have not been on our live show on stage before. And
or perhaps not one of them, even not at a convention.
Yes. So,
and avoid the regret. Just be there.
Good advice. Very good advice.
Yeah.
We were very excited about returning to Gallifrey One this year. In addition to our live onstage recording of Doctor Who Podshock, we also hold a meet and greet to give our listeners a chance to come by and say hi. Plus, we have extensive coverage of the whole weekend at the event. This can only happen with your support. It's a very expensive undertaking. You can help make it all possible by becoming a supporting subscriber if you're not one already. For a low monthly subscription fee as a show of support, not only will you be helping us continue and grow this show and bring the show to Gallifrey One and other similar events, but you'll get extra content as well. Plus, we have other ways of showing our appreciation, including occasional giveaways, discounts to special events, an email newsletter. You'll be bumped up in the queue in our live show. And if we can arrange something at this Gallifrey One, and if you're attending this Gallifrey One, please let us know if you're a supporting subscriber. Maybe we can get together with a couple of guests at the convention and maybe do something special if it all comes together. It's a possibility. To become a Podshock supporting subscriber, go to podshock.net or arttrap.com and click on the Podshock supporting subscriber banner on the top to learn how to become one. As always, if you already are a supporting subscriber, thank you for your continued support. It does make a tremendous difference.
So, we were going to review, as part of our run-up to Gallifrey, we were going to review The Black Orchid, classic sort of Peter Davison story. But in view of the time, and I know that Ken loves this DVD, do you want to postpone
that
until...
Yeah, we can do that for our next show then, yeah.
Yeah, we can... hit it off and say we'll do that, we'll record that for next time, because naturally how can you not get excited about Gallifrey and sure, go a little wax a little bit lyrical, and we've got you know a veteran here in terms of Mr. Joshua Lou Friedman, who thank you so much for being here, mate, and it's lovely to hear insights from somebody who's been there from the beginning, from
every year, never missed
Gallifrey One, Gallif One. You know,
yeah, 22 years. Jesus, has it been 22 years? Wow. Yeah, it's great. I'm plan on being there for the next 22 as well.
Well, it's kind of odd because Gallifrey has been around for 22 years, but Josh has been going for 25 years.
Yeah. Before there even was a convention. I was running around those hallways like, where is that? What time's the bar closed? What do you mean? No, it's all great. And guys, well, once again, we, you know, Sean Lyon and his team, you know, hats off.
Absolutely.
They have a job, and, you know, they just deserve all the credit and the kudos. I mean, they just bang up job.
It's all volunteer. They're doing this for the love of it. That's it's an incredible show. It runs so smoothly that you kind of just basically take it for granted. But you shouldn't, because if you've gone to other conventions, you know that maybe things don't always run this smoothly. So Gallifrey has sort of spoiled us when we go to other conventions and things don't go as smoothly as we expect them. So they make it very enjoyable, and we do thank Sean Lyon, but he will be the first to say that it's all his crew.
It's not him alone
that does it, that he has so many people that we don't, you know, run off names all the time about that should, you know, that we should give credit to.
Absolutely.
What's that? It's a sonic screwdriver. Never fails.
Drop the sonic device.
Isn't my day, is it?
Even the sonic screwdriver won't get me out of this one.
Are you seeking Doctor Who news? The Sonic News Driver. Selected Doctor Who-related news stories delivered sonically. All in a bite-sized podcast. No bigger than a jelly baby.
Function of the sonic blaster,
a sonic cannon,
and a triple enfolded sonic disruptor.
Doc, what you got?
I've got a sonic. Oh, never mind.
What?
It's sonic. Okay, let's leave it at that.
Disruptor, cannon, what?
It's sonic. Totally sonic. I am sonic.
Oh, a sonic what? Screwdriver.
The Sonic News Driver. Find it on iTunes or go to sonicnewsdriver.com.
Who has a sonic screwdriver?
I do.
The Sonic News Driver. Get yours today, sonically.
Neat, isn't it?
All right, then, guys. Well, thanks for an awesome show. And
well, thank you, James.
Hear your voice, sir.
Thank you,
indeed,
Joshua.
I'm sorry I can't be there this year, sir. But
you have other plans now.
What, sorry?
I said you have other plans now.
Yeah,
big plans.
Believe me, it's not. you know, it's come as a complete surprise to me. So, you know, but a good and happy one. So, there we are. It's going to be a busy year, but hey ho, you got to do it sometime.
Yes,
time like the present.
No,
all right.
We'll hopefully get you there if you're not there physically.
Yes, so. I'll be there over Skype or live via satellite, however you want to phrase it.
Pray to the internet gods and the hotel internet there. Hopefully it will allow it all to happen, and we'll have you there.
All right. So next time, Black Orchid review, and we really need to get through some feedback, don't we? We've been holding off on it for so long.
But we do always send it. We always appreciate it. And we always, you know, regardless whether or not we get to it on the show, we always do
read it. Yeah.
And take it to heart. Excuse me, but we do have a public call box you can call into. 206-600-6517 is the phone number. You can call 24 hours a day, or if you're a Time Lord, call 26 hours a day. It's, you know, timey-wimey. So
wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
It's free. You know, we don't charge anything for it, but if there's any local charges that apply, you just be aware of that, and call us.
Awesome.
All right.
Very cool.
All right,
you guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Going back you too,
to
mate.
Going back to trying to get some sun. I'm rubbing that in one more time.
let's say goodbye to our listeners, and we'll call it a wrap. So cheers,
goodbye,
everyone.
Goodbye,
listeners. Goodbye, Duncan.
See you this weekend. See you that weekend, starting with LobbyCon.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
You've been listening to Doctor Who Podshock, presented by the fan-run GallifreyanEmbassy.org. Doctor Who is owned and trademarked by the BBC. Doctor Who Podshock is not affiliated with the BBC in any way. Doctor Who Podshock theme music by Jeff Smith at thejeffsmith.com. This has been a production of Art Trap Productions and is presented to you by the Gallifreyan Embassy and has been made possible in part by supporting subscribers and donations from listeners like you. This episode is also supported by the Podshock Podcast Companion app for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Sorry, no time. Mustache, come back later.